After beating Marseille in the first leg of the Europa League quarterfinals, Benfica was back in action domestically, and it was 8 changes for Roger Schmidt. And Roger Schmidt ended up proving us fans right, that after all, there is talent on the bench. It's just not being properly used. We look at these two games and look ahead to the second game of the Marseille fixture now in France, and also a trip down to the Algarve to meet Ferenc. All of that and more in another night, another podcast.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo.
Quiero Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero Max Sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e estamos, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talk to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo, coming to you every week with another episode of the Benfica podcast. With me, as always, Dave de Oliveira. What's happening, Dave?
What's going on, Alfredo? What's going on, Freddy's? Great to be back here tonight talking all things Benfica. If you're a Freddy already active in the chat, like that, smash that like button.
Yep.
And subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. But good to be back on here tonight, Alfredo.
Yeah, we're waiting for Chris. I don't know if he's gonna show up or when he's gonna show up. But you see Chris's picture, but he's not here yet. But anyway, the show must go on, and Dave and I are here. Want to say hello to all the Freddies that have joined us in the chat. E Mello, Bruno Gil Rodrigues, vamos embora. Diogo Reis, Carlos Amaro. I haven't seen Carlos Amaro here in a while. Manny Valadão. And I'm sure many others will be joining us throughout the show. But here we are, Dave. Last week we came in on a Monday. So it seems like forever since we've done a podcast. But here we are, as I mentioned in the little intro. We're going to be looking back at the Marseille first leg. We're also going to be looking at this weekend's game against Moreirense at Stadio da Luz, and then we'll look ahead to the second leg that takes place this Thursday in France against Marseille and Ferenc, which comes up on Monday after Benfica playing Thursday. Obviously, Benfica will be back in action in Algarve at the Stadio do São Luís to play Ferenc. What's happening? Everything. Hope everybody's doing well. The weather seems to be turning here in the east coast of the U.S. and from what Dave's telling me, also up in Toronto, which is a good thing. I've had enough of cold weather and miserable weather, those are the things you kind of have to get used to it as you live here in the northeast of the United States. So hope everybody's doing well. Let's get right into it. Benfica played Marseille in the first leg of the quarterfinals for the Europa League. Trubin was in goal, Ba Silva, Otamendi, Auschnes, Tino and Neves, Di Maria, Neres, Rafa behind Tengsted. So a lineup that now we've seen repeat. We saw it against the Sporting twice, and now we see it. And I'm pretty sure this was going to be the lineup against Marseille in the second leg on Thursday. What do you think, Dave?
I hope not. I mean, not to jump games, but it was kind of a breath of fresh air on Sunday's match. So I hope we get some sort of squad rotation. But if we know anything about Roger right now, I think, unfortunately, you might be onto something there, Alfredo, and it might be a little bit more of the same. But I would sure hope that there's a little bit of tweaking here and there. But I think you're going to be right on that one.
Yeah. Benfica started off well, and I thought that, you know, playing at our own stadium, that's how you have to come out. 16 minutes, Rafa put us up 1-0 off of a Tangstead assist. Benfica was doing extremely well playing, trying to get out of pressure. But and look, and I don't want to take anything away from Benfica, obviously, in the merits, especially in the first 60 or so odd minutes of the game. But Marseille is a team that's not doing too well. Has had a bunch of injuries, guys playing out of position. By no means am I taking away the merit that Benfica has of winning this game, but certainly that is the start that that we wanted. And we were on top of Marseille for all of the first half and then some of the second half. I thought the team was combining well. I thought there was a lot of dynamic between the players. I just I felt that in dead ball situations, Dave, after a whole season of training down practices, the dead ball situations is still situations that leave me a little bit uneasy.
And we don't capitalize on it, right? Like I think there was a stat in this game on Sunday that Benfica leads the league in the most corner attempts, but I think teams just realize that that's one of our weaknesses. So they'll gladly give away those corners because we're not punishing those teams. And in the past, what was it called? Like a set piece coordinator or the set piece coach to get these plays in order. But we still seem to be lacking at that sector of the game there.
Yeah, no, it's and to me is on the defensive side. It seems that the team shakes a little bit on well-taken dead ball situations on the defensive side, and it's always something that, you know, in the run of play, the team defends well. I think they do well with the defensive transition, but on dead ball situations, and when you're playing against a team that may not have the same weapons as you have, those dead ball situations, corners, free kicks, whatever, they become very important for these teams because that's probably the only way they're going to be able to get close to Benfica's goal. But yeah, going into the half, 1-0, coming out of the locker room, 52nd minute, 2-0, Di Maria off of a Nedish assist. 67th minute, we give up that goal after Antonio Silva miss. And then after that, I think it was just poor. And I think it's a reflection of how this Benfica team has been in terms of mental state. I think it's a team that when it's up against adversity, I don't think that the team is strong enough or even confident enough to be able to hold their ground and play and be able to put ice on the game. And I think that there's one of the reasons why at the end of the game, the crowd wasn't too pleased. As a matter of fact, we heard some whistles at the end of the game because, I think that by now the fan base is a little bit tired, I guess, weary of Roger Schmidt's managing of this team. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of things that Roger Schmidt has said throughout the year that doesn't really jive with what Benfica's DNA is. Like, for example, saying that it's okay to tie at Estoril or to lose a game against a lower team. No, it's not okay. That's not our DNA. We want to win every game, and it's not okay to lose a game against or tie a game in this case against Estoril that is not even in the top five. But you know, that's just a lot of things that have been going on this season that the fans are not happy with Roger Schmidt. The majority of it. I think that there's still fans out there that want to give Roger Schmidt the benefit of the doubt, that want to give Roger Schmidt till the end of the season before they pass judgment. Certainly a lot of the things that he did last year has built up some credit, and I think that people are going on that. But I think at this point, Dave, this competition is really going to be a measuring stick in terms of how Roger Schmidt performed this season.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned it. I think this Europa League competition really is, I think, the last hope of having any chance or anything. I don't know if you even want to qualify it as a successful season, but the further we go in, like I said, I think at least finals minimum too, if we want to have any chance of calling this season a success. But just before we wrap up this game, and I know you mentioned it after the 67th minute there, it was just a poor Benfica squad, but I think that goes hand in hand with Roger not making the subs, right? And in today's day and age, where there's now the extra two substitutions that you can make now five substitutions, it doesn't matter. You can give Roger seven substitutions. He's only going to make those one or two. He's going to rotate the striker up top, and then the rest is throw it in the air and see where he's going to make that switch. But this is the same squad that you mentioned that has played the last three games in a row. A lot of tired legs out there. Get some fresh legs and see if that changes up the game, because it's the same lineup. And I know he's just stubborn. He believes in his players almost to a fault, that's his best 11 that can go and get a result. But he's got to change it up and get some fresh legs in there, especially when you see that the game isn't going the way it is in the second half of that second half there. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense how in today's age, where you're allowed the five substitutions, we're still only making the one in the one substitution that he made the two subs, but he never made any other subs after that.
Yeah, João Mário and Marcos Leonardo came in the 71st minute for Nederzijds and Tangstedt. But yeah, look, there's clearly at this point of the season, there's some tired legs. There's some tired minds also. And I want to talk about a couple comments here from Carl Zamato. It says Trubin is worrisome. He has a tendency to become a spectator whenever someone shoots just outside of his reach, but within frame. I've noticed that. I think there was something that I think that Vlatko Dimitrić did well, is he always dove, regardless of whether the ball was two yards or 2 meters outside the frame or whatever. He always made sure, and I think that Trubin has gotten caught a couple times with that, just saving it with his eyes. But yeah, there's been other mistakes in terms of Trubin that we didn't see early on the season. But look, I think it's a long season. I think that the team has gone through a roller coaster of emotions in terms of confidence, in terms of some turmoil in the locker room. I'm sure. Also wanted to mention a comment here by Diogo Reis that's saying, "When do you guys want to have the conversation about Antonio Silva? Although may have many leadership qualities, I don't rate him as high as the Benfica verse makes him out to be." And look, I thought that Antonio Silva had a good first half of the season. He was solid. The games against Sporting, I thought he played well against Jokeres. But there's been some misses as of late, some lacks of concentration from him that leaves you scratching his head. And it's like, this is not like Antonio Silva. But as I mentioned, it's a long season. It's taxing both on your body and your mind. And at the end of the season, when you're already going into this final stretch, having that mental freshness is key. And I think that, you know, we'll get into the game in a little bit, right? I saw the game against Moreirense, right? The eight changes that were made. And it really, I think if you're a Benfica fan and you're looking at these second line guys, especially the young kids, especially the Gouveia, Araújo, some other guys, Rollheiser, you look at these guys, you go, okay, well, we're gonna continue with this depth in terms of, you know, these guys that have been with the team all season, but we haven't seen them a lot on the field. But here's the thing: the coach has got to be able at some point, and I know that the center back position is a little bit difficult to tinker with, right? But I think that Araújo has come in a couple times on accumulations of yellows for both Antonio Silva and Otamendi, and he's done well. And I think that that Roger Schmidt has to have a pulse on this team and has to know when the players are mentally exhausted or mentally taxed. Because one thing is to find out there's, I forget what it is, but there's a chemical in your body that the players get tested to, and by measuring the level of the chemical, the staff can tell how the players are recovering, because it's like an amino acid or something like that, Dave. I'm not really sure, but I've read about it. Maybe Carlos could tell us, because I know that Carlos is smart. the thing is that you can measure that, right? But in terms of mental freshness, I mean, you see Antonio Silva making some mistakes. Hey, maybe you got to think about, hey, maybe Antonio Silva needs a couple games on the bench. It's not detrimental to him. You have the conversation and you explain, look, let's get you a reset. You know, things are been heavy in terms of mentally, for especially for a player like Antonio Silva, right? Because you look at other players that are on this team, especially the foreign guys, and it's not the same. Antonio Silva really feels the club. I'm sure that he feels the pressure from the fan base. I'm sure he hears comments on the street, and he takes it to heart, because he's a Benfiquista at heart. And I think that he really takes this really heavy when people say something to him, hey, you guys should be playing better, or come on, let's go. I think that there's an added pressure for these guys that understand the club and understand how the club functions. And I think that Roger Schmidt, sometimes he needs to be able to identify that. He needs to be able to say, hey, you're not going through the best period of form. Maybe a couple games on the bench will do you well. And when we talk about Antonio Silva, I talk about Rafa. He's the one guy that could probably use some bench time just to provide some kind of reset. Just a reset. Come back, watch the game from the sideline, see what's going on, come back the next game, be fresh. If it's not the next game, the game after that. And the thing is that when you don't have guys on a bench, I can understand always going with the same horses. But when you have guys that we feel could add to this team, and they proved it against the Moreirense, certainly we don't understand why these changes haven't been made. But I put a bow on this game over here, and I'll let you do the stats, Dave. But again, Benfica with a good start. After Marseille's goal, the team went down. Roger Schmidt, again, with the late subs, he could have done a lot better in terms of managing the game and cutting off what Marseille was trying to do and put the team in a better place. I think that oftentimes Roger Schmidt doesn't help the team. He needs to help the team by making a few changes here and there, tinker here and there, and he could put the team in a better place, but I think that sometimes he lacks that, or maybe all the time he lacks that. Dave, stats.
Stats here. Rafa with his 20th goal of the season as Benfica's leading top scorer this season. Di Maria returns back to the score sheet after a month without scoring since March 7th against Rangers. And going into this second leg here, Benfica have qualified 76% of the time when they've carried a 2-1 home advantage after the first leg of a European competition. So numbers seem to be in our favor going into this second leg here.
Yeah. Now going to the second leg is going to be a different story. You still have the injuries to contend with and a weaker Marseille side. But I think the real factor here, Dave, is going to be playing in a Velodrome, which is known for its atmosphere. So I'm curious to see if this is going to be another performance like we played against Rangers, where we kind of just stood back and absorbed some of the pressure and then were able to score a goal on a counter, or if Benfica is going to assert their dominance as a stronger team on paper at least, and take the game to Marseille and put the game out of reach, take the crowd out of the game also, because I think that when you withstand the pressure and you let Marseille into the game, there's a tendency that the crowd will get more boisterous and more vocal. And I think that may not play well against Benfica. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And that's not Benfica's style, right? Benfica, like, I mean, they've gotten away with results in Toulouse and Rangers playing that type of style, but they didn't look confident playing that way. You know, our style is to go and control the game and play it our way attacking, right? So if we're able to get a goal there in the first half and take the crowd out of it, it's all positives from there, because longer it stays 0-0, or if worst case scenario, Marseille gets a quick goal, then it's really going to be tough against that crowd there.
Yeah, and the thing is that Rafa's obviously going to play and Di Maria is going to play, right? So I think that in a way, if we ever get on a counter or we decide to get on a counter, those two guys with space in front of them and some time in front of them are able to do real damage. So maybe that's what the game plan is going to be. Let's soak up a little bit of the initial pressure, find the gaps, find the drop-offs from Marseille, and then take it down the house. So we'll see. That was the second leg, and now I think I did that wrong, Dave. I set this up wrong, but that's okay. Moreirense, Benfica played Moreirense this past Sunday at Estádio Luz. Estádio Luz that for the first time this season failed to hit the 50,000 mark. I'll ask you what you felt when you saw this lineup. Samu Soares, Bá, Araújo, Morato, Carreiras, João Mário, João Neves, Neres, Gouveia, Coxo behind Cabral. Eight changes in total. What'd you think, Dave?
I guess for Roger, it's all or nothing, right? We asked for some squad rotation, and he decides to rotate basically the entire squad. I was looking forward to it. Like I said, it was like a breath of fresh air. Let's see what these guys who haven't been getting the minutes can offer. I could have done without Samu in goal there, and I'm sure we'll get into it as when we're recapping the match. But everyone else, I thought, deserved to get a look and get some run in, especially one to give a break to that starting 11 that's been playing. It seems like three games in a row with the same 11, especially heading into an important match on Thursday against Marseille with the travels. So I felt that this was a good time at home. I know this Moreirense team seems to give us trouble recently, but at home we always expect to get the result.
Look, I think that as we're looking at this, I think it was good to give guys run. I think that if there's a future plan for Carreras, right? And I think that I've read some things that the Benfica's plan is to keep Carreras, right? If there's a plan, there's games that you could play that you could give time to Carreras. And obviously this game against Moreirense, where Moreirense doesn't really have much to play. They're not fighting relegation. They're not fighting for a spot in Europe. I think at this point they're just trying to secure sixth place. But the context of this game, the context against Vizela, the context against Chaves, who are teams that have struggled, is a perfect context to give Carreras some burn. I think that when you put him in a situation where it's pressure and he has to perform, I don't think that you put him in the best situation to succeed. But in terms of games that are much easier on paper, at least for Benfica, because sometimes Roger has a way of making things difficult. I think this is when Carreras should start getting minutes. I think that's when Morato should be getting minutes because, despite Otamendi being the presence that he is, being the captain, or even Antonio Silva, Morato can play. I think all of these guys all prove to us that they can play. And again, context is the context, right? Because Moreirense really kind of sat back and played. They didn't really pressure us, so it was a much easier game for us. But I thought Carreras did great. I thought Araújo did great. I thought Morato did good. Gouveia did good. Kökçü, who has been clamoring for to play at in his position, was finally in his position, and we saw what he was able to do. So it's one of those things that there's definitely talent on the bench, and I think that we all know at this point that there's talent on a bench. The bench hasn't been used more often, it's a question that needs to be asked of Roger Schmidt. I think that last year when we looked at the bench and we didn't really have the talent there, that we all of us understood. Okay, well, who's going to come in? Chiquinho? So it was one of those things. But I think that Roger Schmidt just ended up proving all the fans right that there's guys on a bench that deserve more time, and they just haven't got the time. And if when they did get the time, they did well. So, again, I said in the beginning of the season that the biggest challenge for Roger Schmidt was managing the squad, managing the talent that's here and some of the older players. And I think that he's really struggled all season. And these, by the way, these are guys that work out and train, and he sees them in training, so he knows where they're at. I just think that when these guys come in, they do well. I think that Gouveia sometimes gets a little bit anxious trying to do too much, but at the end of the day, he's a very skilled player. That was a play that he had where he dribbled like three or four guys, and he just missed a shot or something like that. It was going to be a tremendous goal by him, but it was just one of those things that Bruno Gil Rodrigues saying even Cabral played well. Yeah, Cabral had a little bit of a shaky first 25 minutes, I would think. But then he really got going, and you really
He
see,
just he looks clunky out
yeah,
there. Like
it's just the
he's,
way he
you
runs.
know, he was getting up to that match speed, and then Roger started with his whole rotation again between those three guys, and he's back to looking just like a step off and just not connecting well with the team. I know we've joked that he's the Picanha on this team, but he was when like we've said, he was looking good, getting in shape and getting that match fitness going and really starting to work well with this squad, and then he decides to pluck him out and start using Casper. And I think he looked good, but I still looked at times just looked a step off or just clunky and didn't look in the right positions
Yeah. Yeah,
there.
but here's the thing, right? We've all seen enough from Cabral, right? At this point, we know what his strong suits are, what his weak points are. Cabral is not going to take on anybody down the wing and beat him for speed. He's not. He's the type of guy that has a very limited range of action within that box or that final third. Very central guy that combines well is a guy that gets the ball with his back to goal and can hold a defender. Is also a guy that with a move he could beat a defender because he's physical, because he's got a body and it's hard to push him off the ball. So I think that Benfica is not playing to his style, right? And you can look at it and say, well, Cabral, the player that he is, I don't think the team should really be playing to Cabral's style. Cabral should be able to kind of adapt and change a little bit to play more the team style. And fine, I'll accept that. But I think that at this time, when you have Cabral, there's a specific way that Benfica has to play to use and to take advantage of his strengths. And I think that we don't do that enough. And he showed us in this game that when he has the ball, he has a little bit of space. Guys could bounce off of him. He has a little bit of Jenga also, and he's got a crazy hard shot also. He hit the crossbar, I think, at some point. It was monstrous shot that he hit the crossbar. But, look, I thought the team played really well. 18 minutes in, 1-0, Kokshu off of Govea. Pass, you can make an argument that maybe that goal was preceded by a foul by João Mário in the midfield. And the 45th plus, Tomás Araújo unassisted put us up 2-0 off of corner play. I have
more hesitation on that second goal more than the potential foul on that first goal, because that first or the second goal comes off a corner kick that hits off Govea, and they still call it a Benfica. I have more hesitation on that second than the first, but. I think the first goal is deserved. The second one, I know they were complaining about as well, and I think there's more to go off that second goal getting with the incorrect corner being awarded. But
yeah, it was supposed to be a goal kick, and they ended up calling a corner, and Benfica scores off of that ensuing corner. But look, you know. It's all it's the butterfly effect, right, Dave? You still have to cross the ball. You still have to score the goal. Granted, you know, if it's a goal kick, you don't have the opportunity, but still. But it is what it is. But I thought that that the team played really well. In the 46th minute, Antonio Silva came in for Araújo, came out hurt. Tino in for Neves, Holreiser for Neres. And if, Dave, 46th minute substitution. What do you make of that?
Three of them too. The boot. It's like I said, it's all or nothing with Rodgers. Yeah. So on Sunday it was rotate the entire squad.
Rotate the squad and do the subs when you're supposed to do them.
Yeah. And the game before it was only one substitution stoppage for two, and then we were waiting for the rest that never came. But like I said, breath of fresh air seeing all these changes and really getting to see what these players are made of. Was impressed with Rolheiser in the second half there. I think we've got somebody there. Still small sample sizes, but. Yeah. Good to see what he can bring to the squad.
Yeah, 3-0 by Rolheiser, off of an assist of Govea. Govea, who was very active in this game with a couple assists. In the 86th minute, Tengstedt came in for Kokshu. In the 90th minute, Diogo Spencer, a youngster off of Benfica's formation, came in for Govea. Dave has done a little bit of research on Diogo Spencer. Diogo, tell us about Diogo Spencer. I don't know if anybody knows who Diogo Spencer is. I certainly didn't know. Yeah.
The Portuguese right back. Did you know he's actually turning 20 tomorrow on the 17th? So it's already the 17th in Portugal. So happy birthday, Diogo Spencer's 20th birthday. He was a part of the UEFA Youth League winner squad that Benfica won a couple of years back ago. He's been a part of our youth system since 2016-17, starting all the way back with the under-13 squad. Spent the majority of last season with the U23 squad, making 31 appearances and scoring 5 goals. And this season, split his time between the U23 and B team.
Yeah.
12 appearances for the U23 and 13 appearances with 1 goal for the B squad.
Yeah. So another player being launched by Roger Schmidt, and good for him, both for the player and Roger Schmidt, and certainly a memorable moment for the youngster. Ooh, I thought it was younger. He was younger than 20, but 20 years old. Still young.
19 right now on this side of the pond, already 20 in Portugal.
Yeah, it's still young. I think, I mean, at 20 still, but it, you know, came into the game, didn't show a lot of nerves. I thought the game was also at a good point, at a good phase for him to come in. Benfica had put the way away the game was 3-0 when he came in. Had a couple of nice plays. Had a shot attempt, which is, I thought, wow, that's great for a kid making his debut at Stade de Luge. I think the biggest thing that you have is like, please don't let me fuck up. Every pass is a safe pass. You're very cautious. Your head is on a swivel. You want to make sure that you're hitting your spots, that you're positioned well. But for him, he just came in and fired a shot. I was like, wow, that's very ambitious of him. But it really shows the confidence that a lot of these kids have after having played for the B in the U23. And guys, don't forget that the B team, right? The B team, which is composed of mostly young kids, some of them still juniors, is a team that plays against men. The second division is composed of teams that are men. You know, guys that, you know, could be playing in a first league. So the level of competition that they play is always much more elevated, more experienced, probably faster guys that are a lot smarter in terms of the way they read the game. And these competitions, I guess, it really elevate both the mental sharpness, but also your technical ability, because now you have less time to play a ball. You have to make decisions at a much quicker pace and while still playing the game. So good for him. Good for the debut. I'm happy that he was part of that setup that won the youth league. That again with Antonio Silva was there. I think João Neves was hurt, didn't play, but he was part of that team that went that won that. So look, at the end of the day, good win for Benfica. I think it was great to give confidence to the guys on the bench. I think it was a well-deserved prize, and I think that as I look at the 11 or the 8 changes Roger Schmidt did, you can't point a finger at any of the players to say they didn't take advantage of the opportunity. I thought all of them did pretty good. Carlos was saying here, was talking about Thiago Araújo. I think I called him Tomás Araújo before. Is it Thiago, right? Thiago Araújo? Yeah, Thiago Araújo.
No, this one is Tomás.
Tomás.
Yeah.
Carlos was talking about Gouveia.
Gouveia.
Yeah. But I think that Araújo, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Carvalho. Ricardo Carvalho. Who played for Porto, then went on to Chelsea, and the reason why I say that is because he's very smooth. He's not that strong, impotent guy that will approach tackles in a physical way the same manner that Antonio Silva does. He's more of a silky guy. He's more like the little toe poke to get the ball away. He's quick. And I thought that at some point he was much higher than Antonio Silva was in a pecking order. If you remember last year when Roger Schmidt gave those guys an opportunity to step up to the A team, we all felt that Thiago Araújo was above Antonio Silva. Antonio Silva ended up grabbing the opportunity and getting the spot. But I think that in terms of center backs, and let's assume that Antonio Silva leaves and Otamendi leaves also. If I'm looking at the center back pairing that I have in Araújo and also Muratu, despite being young, I feel that they have enough experience between them that they could do well. I would still prefer a veteran player in that position, kind of like a voice of authority back there like Otamendi is. But I think that in terms of what these kids, they're 20-something, what they've experienced so far in their careers and the opponents that they faced, I think that they could be the starting center back pairing for next season. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. Turning our attention now to Farense. Benfica will travel down to the Algarve to Faro to play Ferenc this upcoming Monday. 8:15 local. What's Ferenc up to, Dave?
This season, they're currently in 10th with 31 points from 8 wins, 7 draws, 14 defeats. Historically, 36 wins, 12 draws, 6 defeats in their previous 54 meetings. Last 5, 3 wins, 2 draws, but our last victory came back in October 2020. So the last we've drawn the last 2 meetings against them. Their form is not, they're not coming into this match on the top form, only 1 win out of their last 10 matches here. 1 win, 4 draws, 5 defeats.
Yeah, and Ferenc is one of 7 teams that are currently separated by 4 points between them that are trying to get away from the relegation spots. So it's very, very balanced. And all of these teams are playing to get 1 point here and 1 point there. And if they could get a point against one of the bigger clubs where it's assumed and almost accepted that they won't get max points off of those matchups, it's teams that are trying to scrounge up for those points so they could continue climbing the ladder and not be left in the back. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that the game will have a lot to do with what happens on Thursday. I think that if Benfica goes through on Thursday to the semifinals of the Europa League, I think that the team is reaching a point right now and now in April that mentally their confidence is – the confidence levels are growing, right? Because – up until the Sporting game, we were what we were. We were consistent on the Sporting game despite not winning those games. But we showed ourselves well. And I think that sometimes that's what Roger Schmidt fails to see, that despite losing a game or despite tying a game, if the effort of the team is there, the dynamics are there, the combination play is there, the team is playing attractive football, I think the fans don't mind clapping the team off the field at the end of the game. If the effort's not there, the team's not playing well, we're in April, by now the team should be playing much better, then obviously there's going to be fans that are going to be contesting everything that's happening. But certainly whatever happens this Thursday is going to dictate what the rest of the season is going to look like. No more domestic competitions at least not on paper, right? We were hoping that Sporting would drop points today on the game on hand that they had. They played Famalicão. They won the game, so they're now 7 points ahead of Benfica with 5 matches to play. And with the head-to-head advantage also. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on Thursday, but I think that Thursday is going to be an indication on how the team goes for the rest of the season. I was talking to Chris a couple of days ago, and I said that our main priority right now domestically should be to secure that second place so that we could clinch a Europa League spot. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I think the Champions
League. You mean Champions League
that's
playoffs.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a chance we could get automatic berth into the group stages.
Yes.
If one of the teams that are left in the Europa League wins the Europa League, right, and they also classify for the Champions League domestically, Benfica will automatically get that berth because of Benfica's ranking for the UEFA. So let's say, for example, Leverkusen wins the Europa League. They won the Bundesliga this past weekend, as everybody knows. So Benfica would automatically get that. Same thing with Liverpool.
Liverpool, Milan are one of those teams. I think really it would be the only squads
Atalanta
that we're looking at. I don't think they're in a top four though right now.
It's the only squad that if they win it, Benfica wouldn't get the automatic.
Correct. Automatic. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think.
So so there is a way of us still getting an automatic berth, which would be good for us going into next year, not having to get the season started off earlier and getting the guys up to shape to get those play those important matches. And I mean, you were talking about locking up second place. I think that's almost a certainty coming up. That'll be all tied up. There's a what 11-point difference between us and Porto and Braga right now, who are battling it out for third with 5 games to go. So that'll I think take care of itself before the last week of the season. Really, there's usually these races come down to the last match of the season in Portugal, and this year it's all shaping up that it'll be wrapped up by the second or even the third last weekend of the season.
Dave, are you expecting the same type of rotation against Farense?
I'm not, just because we're on the road. I think he's and again, it all depends on what happens on Thursday, but I don't think he's gonna rotate as much as we saw on Sunday at home. Maybe one or two, but I'm not expecting a complete overhaul on Monday against Ferenc.
Yeah, Diogo Reis is asking, how far does Roger have to go in Europa League for you all to be okay with him back next season? For me, that's to win it. To even have a chance that fans are going to be able to be okay with him returning, because at this point, the majority of the fans are kind of fed up with everything that they've seen from Roger Schmidt this year. Like I said, there's some guys that are still holding judgment until the end of the season to see how Benfica ends up at the end of the season, but there's guys that are fed up. E Mello entered the chat and says everything is going to be all right because the special one is coming. He's going to straighten everything out.
I didn't know if he was talking about Cristiano or if he was talking about Mourinho there.
Right. And look, Carlos and I have kind of traded a couple texts on Twitter in terms of continuity and sticking to the project. But I just think that Benfica fans are very impatient. And I think that we could be impatient at times and we can be understanding. I think it all depends on the context in terms of what we feel about a coach. I mean, I remember 1 year that we desperately, and this is the first stint of Roger Schmidt, we desperately, a first stint of JJ, we desperately wanted JJ out. He was just poor, he was shitty. But we also, if I remember correctly, that team wasn't the best team. I think the biggest thing is understanding the amount of investment that was made by the club and bringing all these players for a lot of money, and granted, some of them were they were the price was overblown, right? There was, excuse me, the real price. But I think that you could accept when you said, well, our squad is not that deep. We had some injuries, we had some problems. I can accept this being a sort of rebuilding year, or kind of like a stabilizing year. But when you're looking at the team and the investment that we've done, who's going to answer for the failures of this season? Is it Roger Schmidt? Is it Rui Costa? That's the question that at the end of the season that all of us Benfiquistas really need to sit down and think about it, and think about everything that went on this season. For me, I think Diogo, at minimum, he has to win the Europa League to even pull some Benfiquistas towards his side, because right now I think that the fan base is very polarized, and I think that there's a heavier number of fans on the get rid of him bandwagon than the ones that are, he's still got some credit with me. Let's wait until the end of the season to see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I think if he wins it, he puts himself in a really good position to continue. Not only himself, but he also puts Rui Costa in a position where it's not a tough decision that he has to make. So, but he has to win it.
All right, I'm a little, I'll give him a little bit more. I said at least the finals for
At
me.
least the
So,
finals.
but you know where I've stood on. I've been more lenient with Roger. I'm more on the boat of continuity and not changing ship when things start going bad. But he has also made his faults, and he hasn't had the greatest of seasons. So I can definitely see where you guys are coming from, but I'll give him a little bit more leash and say the finals for me for Roger to
Yeah.
stick around.
Carlos Zamato says, I'm on the fence. I need to see the rest of the season. Brunjil Rodriguez says, win it. And he also says, the problem is that Schmidt doesn't learn from his mistakes and he can't read the game. Yeah, it's like the substitutions, for example, that was something already that we had seen at PSV. Diogo Reis says, I don't like rotating managers this often. Look at Porto, one of the worst seasons in our lifetime, and his seat is not nearly as hot as Rodgers. But Diogo, that goes back to the point that I was making in terms of you have the squad. You can't make omelets without eggs. And when you look at the Porto team, they don't have a lot of eggs. So I think that fans look at the quality of the squad and the depth of the squad and realize that the coach is, Sergio Conceição is doing a great job with the hand that he's been dealt, because fans realize that the team, there's no talent. The coach can't get the most out of these players because they're already given way too much. So I understand that, but certainly if Roger Schmidt, if Sergio Conceição had the weapons and the manpower or the squad that Benfica has, which is clearly one of the better squads in the past 10 years, I think that a lot of Porto fans are clamoring for his head at this point, much like Benfica fans. Jason Gaidola says winning the Europa League would eliminate that European drought Benfica has been seeking. Yeah, agreed. Carlos says I used to be the guy with the patience of a third grade teacher about to retire, but is my 55th season. I want less emotional knee-jerk and more continuity. Look, I get it. There's something to be said about continuity, and there's something to be said about not having that revolving door in terms of coaches in and out, and us not knowing what we want, and not really give continuity to the project. But I mean, some things that we see is just, are we gonna be able to put up with another season where the squad is not properly managed, where he's having bad reads, he can't read the game, he can't make the right substitutions, he's constantly being outcoached by other guys that are reading the game much better and making the decisions and the moves that they need to make in order to influence the game. Are we willing to continue with that? Is Roger going to improve? And when you ask these questions, albeit rhetorical questions, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards Roger, his who he is, and he's not going to change for anyone. So I don't know if I could put up with another season of Roger. And it wouldn't even be so bad if the team was playing well. He's not making substitutions, but the team is playing well. The product on the field is good product. Everybody's happy with what's on the field. He's not making substitutions. Hey, team is playing well. He doesn't need to make substitutions, right? But when we see this team struggle and not to have a flow in their game, and then we have a coach on the sideline with the hands on his pockets, not making a move. Now you got a question. I said, well, what the fuck, man? Do something. Because we could all see it here, watching our TV. We could all see everything that's going on, the guys that are tired, the guys that are not playing worth a lick, that need some bench time. But Roger doesn't see it that way. So there's a lot of things that have gone on in the season that have given reason to fans, and there's other things that have kind of gone his way. I just don't know if I'm all about continuity, but I don't know if I'm ready for another season of Roger with his hands in his pockets, just looking at the field, hoping for a miracle, hoping for a Di Maria miracle and a Rafa goal after 50,000 misses.
One thing that I forgot to mention, and when you're speaking about continuity, about Coxu in that match on Sunday, I like what I saw from him. There's a player there. I know he's not been utilizing his position that he's most suited for. So I think for Coxu, he just needs to keep his head down, make the most of his opportunities here to finish off the season. Don't say anything. Don't make any more impromptu interviews.
Yeah.
And I think there's a player there for next year. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. He didn't really celebrate, or he didn't really acknowledge the crowd. No, that's all over social media.
They clapped for him.
Yeah, and that's good. When that's really half the battle,
clapped
right?
For him.
Yeah. That's half the battle. So guy just needs to continue head down, continue doing his work whenever he's called upon, and start fresh next season for Coxu.
Yeah, for me, it's the only way Roger Schmidt is going to continue. Is if he wins the Europa League, that will sway a lot of fans towards his camp, and like I said, it will take some of the pressure away from Rui Costa from having to make a decision, because if the fan base is ruthless in terms of pressuring presidents, and Luis Felipe Vieira was somebody that never really succumbed to the pressure, but I think Rui Costa, as a fan and as a true Benfiquista, he feels it more. And I don't know if he has that ice in his veins to kind of stick behind his choice to continue. But I mean, I think that the win with the win with the Europa League clinches the next year's seat for him. But there's some things that need to be changed. So I think that maybe Rui Costa has to have a coming to Jesus conversation with him at the end of the season. And really iron some things out and really understand some things out and perhaps explain what Benfica's DNA is, that it's not okay to lose or to tie against Sturil or other teams of that caliber. Anyway, I think that's all we got, Dave. We made it just in time to cut it off for Pema Media. Cristiano never showed up, but it's okay. Dave and I were here. So we'll be back next week. We'll break down the second leg of Marseille, and we'll also talk about who Benfica will meet next. It will be either Atalanta or Liverpool. Atalanta currently with a 3-goal lead that they got at Anfield. They're now going back to Italy at their home stadium. Liverpool really falling apart at the end of this at this season, both domestically, with they also had a loss this season, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, so we'll see what happens, but yeah, we'll come back next week. We'll break down the Marseille second leg, and we will also break down the Ferenc and look ahead to the next match. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for following us on the chat, and for those of you who are going to listen to us also. Shout out to Milton Carvalho. Him and his buddy came down to New Jersey, and we made some time to meet up with those guys and have a drink. A couple cool guys, myself and Cristiano. All good, man. Thanks for sharing those moments with us, and thank you to all the fans that continue to support us. Dave, always a pleasure. Take care, buddy.